I would feel more sympathetic if it wasn't for the fact that every time I take a bag, which is 1 gram over the limit, they charge me $70.
So. Yeah, but the problem, I keep saying this to you, is that it's full of cocaine.
They don't mind that. I just want to take less than the weight limit, less than 23 kilos of cocaine. They could give a damn what's in the bag.
Yeah, like you're at the airport, taking bags of cocaine out so you can meet the weight limit.
And I'm like, what do? I just put this in my inside jacket pocket? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about
that's
it.
That's totally fine. Put it up your ass like a civil human being.
Hello, listeners, and a very happy new year. Welcome to the first episode of Bad Voltage of 2021, episode 20 of season 3. How was both of your new year celebrations?
Quiet.
That is the number one answer I have received, so I'm going to preemptively guess you were the same, Mr. Bacon. I should add, my name is Jeremy. I'm joined, as always, by Stuart Langridge and John O'Bacon.
Yeah. It's, by the way, I have to say, it was quiet, but it was so nice taking a bit of time off. You know, this has been a busy year, right? Everyone's got their own situation, but there's been so many virtual events and webinars and all that stuff. I was just mentally exhausted by the end of the year. So it was nice taking a couple of weeks off and just, you know, doing nothing. Also, got a PlayStation 5.
Was it worth the wait and you setting up all the bots and everything else?
Did not set up any bots. Well, yeah, kind
of
did.
You set up a number of bots, in fact.
We had a conversation pre-recording on one of the shows where you were talking about said bot.
Well, I didn't really set it up. I more installed a Chrome plugin. If that's considered setting up a bot, then by all means, I'm also an operating system software engineer as well.
I feel hard to point out that the fact that they've made it easy to have a machine watch a website for you doesn't stop it being a bot just because it's got a nice UI on it, right? You don't have to be doing it in MIRC like you used to.
It's a fair and valid point, my heterosexual life mate. But it is absolutely breathtaking. It's an incredible console. I've been very impressed with it, and it's been fun to play with our kiddo as well. We've been playing like this co-op game, so yeah, it's well worth it if you can get one, which still is almost impossible to get one.
Excellent.
So we're going to do predictions. We wrapped up last year with our usual incredible performance when it comes to predicting the future.
We did. I have been disappointed for weeks that I failed to call the last show Hindsight is 2020. But nonetheless.
Opportunity wasted.
I know. I'm really annoyed about it.
So we're going to guess what we think is going to happen in 2021. Now, for those of you who are new to this.
What do you mean, guess?
Sorry, predict.
We're going to incorrectly predict what we think will happen in 2021.
We're going to weave a careful web of fiction for this year.
I spent a year researching this.
That's interesting.
Or as other people call it, just living and paying vague attention to the news. But
so for those of you who are new to this, what we're going to do is one by one, we're going to go and share our predictions. We usually share 3 or 4 main predictions, and then we have a couple of bonus ones. Now, I want to get something straight, because we bicker every time about the point scoring at the end of the year. I think we should have a new rule. If we get a prediction right, 1 point. If we get a bonus prediction right, 0.5 point. We talked about this a little bit on the last show. Do you guys agree with this?
There are, I think, 2 fundamental things underlying this. The first one is, a year from now, we won't remember that we did this rule. And because it normally ends up screwing me when we have rules like this, and I'm the only one who listens to the show.
Why don't we just put the predictions and the rules in the show notes?
Let's keep it in the show notes. Apparently, Google Docs now last longer than a year.
Says one of the new people feature in the show that does not do the show notes.
Well, thank you for volunteering me to remember to do that when we release the show then. I mean, it's possible I will forget. Well done. It's okay because, you know, we've all got jobs to do. Like some of us have the job of making it so we can register on Spotify, don't we, Jono?
I have relentlessly badgered one of the members of Bad Voltage to fix a very minor, very easy to fix problem so that we, the Bad Voltage crew, could be represented on Spotify like all the other great, great podcasts out there. And this person has failed to do so on innumerable, at this point, occasions.
Mr. Jeremy Beyonce Garcia, the last time I remembered this, you said, Jono, you can't be trusted with fixing this problem any further.
I did.
Connect me to your brother. And then didn't I connect you to my brother? Maybe I sent you an email that never went through. I did.
So we will get this fixed. So by the time the next show is released, we will release on Spotify.
That's the plan. That? So one of my problems with this brilliant rule is that we won't remember it. And the second one is, the problem is never an argument between you get a point for a correct prediction and a half point for a bonus correct prediction. It's that correctness is not a binary thing. None of us have ever, I don't think, in the history of the show, got anything 100% correct.
No, I did.
I've had correct
just
things.
The last ones. Predicted a acquisition correctly. Correct.
Oh yeah,
company and everything.
Sorry, well,
that's
obviously
100% binary correct.
Don't you amplify your own uselessness onto us?
Okay. First of all, I feel like I want to point out that Jeremy gets a pass on this. Only Jeremy, though.
Do some of us pander for eighths and twelfths, increasingly small fractions of points?
One sixty-second of a point. By the way, before we go on, Mr. Garcia, given your horrible allegation towards me about this email issue, I've looked it up. On the 31st of March, in the Lord's year of 2020, I connected you to Simon. And then Simon responded to both of us and said, must be a limitation on forwardmail.com. If you want reliable mail, looks like someone will have to pay for it. And neither of us responded.
I responded to you saying, point the MX record at this host. Multiple times.
Sake.
Already set it up. It's waiting to receive mail. Have sent you multiple Slacks. I think even an email at one point. I can send you a carrier pigeon.
Listeners,
if you
why
prefer,
do you listen
whatever,
to a tech? Like. Why do you listen to a tech podcast by a bunch of people who can't set an email?
No,
address?
No. To be clear, it's not a bunch of people who can't do it at all.
In fact, it's already done.
Okay. Anyway, as I was saying, let's move on. Yeah. So, yes, should we just dig in?
Yes.
Before we do that, we should
absolutely. Yes. So we record the show. We do a bunch of research beforehand. We record the show, but then everything that happens after this used to be done by Jono, but he's not very good at it. So we thought if we get actual professional media help, that would be fantastic.
This is true.
And so Marius Quabeck from NerdZoom Media, who are now at nerdzoom.media, so Truth in Advertising, does all of the editing for the show. And he does a bunch of stuff like puts in chapter markers and names all the chapters and stuff like this. And it's all very cool. And we appreciate it a great deal. So,
yeah,
thank you, Marius.
They do an amazing job.
If you need stuff like this or other media things, he's also when we've done Foss Talk Live in the UK for the last 3 or 4 years now, it didn't happen last year because of the situation. But in previous ones, he's filmed it all as well. Various times he's erected cameras and put them up and so on. So a fully multimedia experience or whatever you call it.
Is really, really good. And for the three of you who've seen any of my YouTube videos towards the tail end of the year, Marius has edited all of those as well. He does a really good job. So if you need any media doing, go and check him out, nerdzoom.media. We are enthusiastic endorsees of Marius.
Wow.
Nerdzoom.media.
So who wants to go first? Do you want to go first, Mr. Langridge?
Should I go first? Yeah, okay. I'll go first.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear the bullshit.
One of the things I've had a problem with, there have been two things I've had a problem with this year. The first one is it's hard to look for more than 8 hours into the future at the moment. So it's like the idea of predicting what's going to happen 12 months from now is echoingly unlikely since I have no idea what's going to happen on Monday, let alone now. So That's been a bit difficult, especially given how disrupted everything is at the moment and, you know, not the Clayton Christensen sort of disruption. But, <All right. laughs> but the second thing is, I've found, you know, my rule about quantifying predictions. They've got to be things where we can at least in principle determine whether they happened or not. Yeah. So you're not allowed to say people do more of this without some way of putting a number on it or some unambiguous win condition. Ha. Huh. And that's been
forgot about that.
Literally named a show that in the past.
Yes, we did.
But I've had difficulty doing that. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll get the Brains Trust to help me. So, I've got some suggestions for a couple of mine about how I determine whether they happen, but I'm open to negotiation on how that determination should occur in December 2021. So, if you've got suggestions, I'd be happy to hear them.
All right.
So,
Just to clarify, you didn't want to add one extra rule, but now you expect us to remember how we were going to grade your rules, your predictions?
No. The how my individual predictions will get graded will be documented as part of the show notes. I'll do that.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Okay.
Carry on.
So, the first one is about remote work. We've seen quite a lot of changes about remote working, not least of which because everyone has to stay at home. And I think it's actually going to start to kick in this year. Up until now, it's felt kind of temporary. People are working from home. And, we've seen a lot of people say, businesses are going to start adopting the idea of working from home more permanently now, despite all their lies and denials. It turns out that it is possible, remarkably, and it saves them a bunch of money. But the inevitable consequence of it saving them a bunch of money is it saved them a bunch of money because they haven't got a big office building in the city and so on and so forth. And I think this is going to start to kick in globally and across industries, not just our industry. And I think it's going to start to hollow out cities a bit. So, because in addition to, if people aren't traveling into the city to work, then they don't need to live in the city, so they save money. And it means that all the sandwich shops go away and all the bars that do all of their business in between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. during the week go away and so on. So, I mean, I might be unusually sensitive to this because I live right in the middle of a big city, but I think it's gonna have a really big impact.
Going back to your previous question, that is the most general of general predictions. Remote working will become
I also think you are conceptually incorrect.
Right, and I may well be incorrect. So the way I thought of quantifying this, and this is where I'm interested in your opinion, as far as I can tell, having done a brief straw poll of a few cities, city population goes up every year. Now, whether...
Absolutely.
As far as I can tell, it does.
I mean, in certain cities it goes up, in many cities it goes down. Even New York City, previous to the pandemic, lost people for the first time in a while last year.
Okay, I don't think I checked New York, but I checked London, and where else did I check? A couple of others. So this is why I wanted
Wolverhampton.
Not Wolverhampton.
Definitely gone down.
But so my thought was, you check population trends. So if a city loses people or loses more people than it does anyway, then if they lose people anyway, then that's an indicator that people are making a permanent move towards not being in the city because they've decided to buy a house outside of it. Right? And that to me felt like a reasonable proxy for this. So
there's loads of reasons why somebody would move out of a city though.
I agree.
It could be that
2021 is going to be weird in that this prediction will be highly skewed by how effective the country that city is in giving the vaccine. So it's going to be all over the map. The spirit of the prediction, though, I think is wrong. I think that this is a very popular topic now that cities are going to get hollowed out. Yeah. I think the desire and draw of living in a city will always be there. And while New York is a great example, rents are going down now like they have not gone down in the last couple decades. What it will do is create a renaissance where people that couldn't afford to live there before will, but as many or more people will live there. Probably more.
That's absolutely fine. I mean, I think it's perfectly reasonable to disagree on this point, and that's why I tried to pick something which is at least semi-testable. Jono, I completely agree with you. Populations might go down for any number of reasons. There's no guarantee that because the population goes down, it's because people are remote working. But I think the two things are correlated.
But is your prediction remote working is going to grow, or is your prediction cities are going to hollow out?
The prediction, because the testable thing I've got, there's no way of predicting remote working, I don't think. As far as I can tell, all the stats I looked for on this are all given to you by people with a reason to give them, because they tried to sell you a remote working product, or they tried to sell you city centre office space or something, right? So yep. I could find no figures that I trusted because they weren't given by someone with, skin in the game. So I thought I find three major cities where the population increase or the population change is down, and it's down by more than it has been for a few years. So this is unusually down in 2021. Whether that's the population generally going up and it reverses to go down, or whether it going down and it goes down more than expected. Because the thing which, one of the things which balances this out is the general increase in population, right? And I don't necessarily think this is a permanent trend. I've got a note in here saying this is probably only the case for 2021, 2022. Because if I'm right, there's a bit where lots of people who want to move out of the city will do so. People who are on the borderline will do so. But people who really want to be in the city will stay there regardless, because they'd live in the city even if they didn't have a job there. I mean, I live in the city and I could work anywhere. I live here for a reason.
So just to be clear, your prediction is that cities that were ordinarily growing are going to hollow out this year?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. I think you're wrong.
Which is fine. I have tried to pick things which I can defend.
I think you could be right for 2021 based on vaccine distribution, but that's a very specific thing.
It is, but fortunately, I wasn't asked to provide predictions for the next 10 years, so that's okay.
Fair. Okay. Actionable.
I think I'd actually perform better if it is in the next 10 years.
Only because you'd have forgotten, or because Facebook might actually do Facebook Spaces in between.
I was going to say, Canonical will eventually get acquired. It'll be acquired by
you're stealing all of our bonus predictions.
No preempting my bonus predictions.
All right, what's next?
Okay, so the next one, again, I can't really think of a way of quantifying this, but I'm interested in your opinion on how I could do so. So we've seen quite a lot about social media responsibility for the spread of news and disquieting content. Facebook have kept political ads banned for now, and haven't released that yet. Twitter are busy flagging non-credible sources. As we speak, something disastrous is going on in America, and Twitter are...
That narrows it down.
Twitter are limiting the ability of people, limiting retweets and likes on particular tweets so they don't spread very far, and so on. We're also coming up on something of a legislative big tech backlash by the US government. Now, that seems to be more Facebook and Google rather than Facebook and Twitter, but it's all sort of tied together. So
you're talking about the Section 270 stuff or whatever
it's
called?
Not just that. The thing which came out at the end of last year, the big document about how there are a bunch of problems, it feels like there's sort of an appetite for some sort of let's have a go at big tech legislative move in the US. Whether it happens or whether it's justified is another question entirely. Leave that aside. That's not a prediction. But it feels like something's going to happen. And the big tech firms don't want this to happen, sensibly. And one of the relatively easy sticks to beat them all with, whether it's Google with YouTube or Twitter with Twitter or Facebook with the news feed or whatever, is the spread of fake news, of things like
bullshit.
I was trying to think of a nice way of describing it, but yeah. So I think what's going to happen is they're all going to sort of band together and do a we're self-regulating ourselves so we don't need to be regulated by the law sort of thing, and they'll come up with a sort of a credibility checker. It will be bullshit and it won't work, to be clear, but it will look like
But it will be a joint effort with Twitter, yeah. Facebook.
So my the key point of my prediction is that there'll be a joint effort between these companies, which normally won't work together, to do something. It's probably going to be, you know, news on the blockchain or some shit like this, right? and it won't work.
Kind of wanted to happen, though.
To be clear. But I think that that will happen. It will be the key points of it is that it will be a joint effort, some sort of collaborative thing. But I don't know how to. Does that count as enough to phrase it in a way that's testable?
I think so. I mean, if they announce an initiative where they're all working together, kind of like it makes me think of almost like a governance board in open source where you've got lots of member companies, right?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. The
I mean,
the Linux Foundation, but it'll be the Open Creditable News Foundation with Twitter.
Yeah, the Joint Responsibility Initiative or some shit like that. Yeah,
Twitter, Google, and Facebook.
Yeah. I hope the acronym for whatever this thing is lies.
That would be great, actually. But yeah, that I think will happen. I think it will be a stupid idea and it won't work. But I think it's going to be done as an attempt to avoid governmental regulation about this stuff by saying, we don't need you to do laws about it. We can do it ourselves. Look, and it will buy them at least 2 years before everyone realizes that didn't work. And ideally, it will buy them forever because the heat will have gone down by then. And no,
I think that's a great prediction. It's good. It's ambitious. It's easily testable. By the way, just as a tiny, tiny quick aside, just saying, wouldn't it be funny if the acronym was LIES? It just reminded me. I didn't realize, both of you may already know this. Did you know that the CEO of Nintendo is called Doug Bowser?
No.
I did not.
His last name is Bowser. As in the... Yeah.
Is that why he was employed?
I don't know about that. The name predates his employment at Nintendo.
Well, there was a shipping guy, I think, who was called Armand Hammer. This is in the 70s and 80s, I think. I don't know. Well, he bought the company Armand Hammer, the toothpaste company. And as far as anyone could tell, he didn't buy it for any kind of good, you know, corporate reason, like he thought they were going to make money. It was just because, lol, they've got the same name as me. And his accountants, because I believe he died and they were going through his thing, and his accountants were like, why do we own this? Sell this company. So they sold it to Procter & Gamble or Colgate Palmolive or something. But yeah, as far as anyone could tell, he just bought it because he was like, lol, there's a company with my name. I'm buying them.
Sounds like he was drunk. This is one of the reasons why I own, and this is not a joke, I own wall-to-wall intimate squelching.biz. There's a long story behind that that we're not going to get into.
That goes into my list of domains registered from the pub.
Of which there are many.
Of which there are many. Okay.
Facebook started something like this, I think, with writers in another organization, but I don't think another large... So I think Google started something like this. I think the Knight Foundation started something like this, but I don't think Facebook and Twitter are in any.
The core of the prediction is big tech as a whole banding together to present a united front against governmental legislation. Okay. If they all do it independently, I failed the prediction. Because even the US government is not stupid enough to think that everyone goes, no, we'll just be good from now on, that's okay. Right?
Yep.
Okay. But I think they might be fooled by a self-regulating industry. Okay.
What's next?
So next one, Amazon buys Zoom.
Well, that's a quick and easy one.
Yes, it is.
Amazon. Yep. Why Amazon?
Because of their lack of faith in Chime or?
I don't have a good reason why. It just felt right. I was thinking someone's going to buy Zoom. There's no way they're going to continue, especially now we're going into, the UK has gone into another lockdown and other countries are likely going to do the same. It's not like we're getting out of it as quickly as I thought we were. And someone's going to go, well, we want this. And Google don't feel right because their stuff is too googly internally. Apple aren't going to do it. I mean, it could be another player, but Amazon kind of felt right.
Interesting.
I think Salesforce would have, but the market cap's too high. I think Oracle's probably more likely than Amazon.
I have a related prediction. that I will zoom to later on in the in our show today.
How deft of
you. But okay, that one's easily measurable, and you won't be squabbling for half points on this one.
No. Either they buy it or they don't.
Oh, no, he will.
Well,
Amazon will post something about Zoom in 2021. He'll be asking for a quarter of a point. No,
that's groveling for a quarter of a point. The half point grovel is that they announced they're buying Zoom, but they haven't actually done it by December the 31st. I'm leaving the door open to a half point on that one. The quarter point one is if someone who works near an Amazon building says the word Zoom at any point during 2021. Okay, so, those are the three main ones. The other ones
Do you have any
are,
bonuses?
The other ones are quick bonuses. So my bonuses are somebody buys Canonical. It's got to be in there. Someone's got to say it. Far as I can tell, you know, this is the year that I fall on this particular sword. Someone buys Canonical. No point for me a year from now, but there you go.
Yep.
We have all tried it.
Next one is by the end of the year, at least one of us will not have been vaccinated.
That's an interesting one.
I think it's a bit of, what do you call it? A Hail Mary pass?
Did you say, one of us will not have been vaccinated?
Of us will not have been vaccinated.
Okay. Are you planning on not getting vaccinated, Mr. Langridge?
It does seem weird to me that you have direct control over 33% of this prediction.
Right.
First of all, no, we'll get back to that point in a moment. Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, easily measurable, but I.
I would like to know your policy on getting vaccinated, because if your policy is there's no way I'm ever getting vaccinated, then I reject this prediction.
Obviously, I'm getting vaccinated, you dipshit. That particular piece of mental maneuvering comes into play for the last one, which is I predict Jono will continue to buy a bunch of Apple stuff because.
Oh, you think the iPhone was the gateway?
One of two things will happen. Either he does, and I get the point, or we get up to the end of the year, and he decides to stop doing so I don't get the point, and either way I win, which is fantastic.
Either that or the Pixel 6 is great. You never know.
But yeah, I think this is the gateway now. I think he's going to be full. I think he's going to be wearing Daring Fireball t-shirts by the end of the year. You just watch.
Well, what am I going to buy?
This is you saying this? I've never known anyone with your ability to find useless gadgetry bollocks and purchase it.
I mean, that is a fair allegation. But
maybe Apple will come out with a robot dog and you can buy that.
Jesus, do you never, ever forgive? I did buy a first generation Sony Aibo when I was at university and had money.
I think that was, 15 years ago? And neither of us had any money, and we were scrabbling out a living in the West Midlands, and you spent £750 on a Sony Aibo.
Expensive?
eBay. I swear to God, the car I had at the time cost less money than that.
I just started really working.
So, I do not forgive. You're going to pay for that until the day you die, that ridiculous purchase.
Excellent.
You know why I bought that dog? It's because back then, it was a dark part of my past, and I was just craving affection, and I couldn't get it from people.
So you got it.
And the only place I could get it was from a 386 SX16 inside of a robot dog.
So you got it from a big truck.
The sad reality about the Apple thing is I got an Apple Watch for Christmas.
Now, what this means is that Jeremy's going to claim that you'd already done this, and therefore it doesn't count as a prediction this time next year. But I think you're going to find loads more miscellaneous Apple shit to buy.
Well, here's the thing, to quantify your prediction, is buying one Apple product this year, does your prediction pass? Because if you're saying General will buy loads of Apple stuff, then I think we should say at least three things.
I don't think one would count, certainly.
I
feel like the spirit of the prediction is where you have a choice between an Apple thing and another thing, and you go for the Apple thing. But I'm not sure how to quantify that, because I don't think Apple sell anything where they're literally the only player in the market.
No.
Well, he already has the headphones, and he just said he got an Apple Watch, and he has a laptop, and he has an iPhone. I don't know what else he's buying.
It could be those stupid speakers, which I'm not buying.
He'll be Apple Silicon, and...
No, I'm not buying Apple Silicon.
My fucking bed.
I will eventually. When my MacBook wears out, but until then...
Or when you get bored. Or when it's on special offer, or when it's a Thursday.
I just buy shit because, I do have a problem with gadgets. Buy shit because I'm bored.
Right, first of all, citation needed. Secondly, we'll wait till the end of the year and we'll see who's right. But those my predictions.
So there's your bonus. Okay.
Yep.
So deliberately not buying any Apple shit just to spite you. But as you said, you still win, which is annoying.
This is the best Morton's Fork I've ever come up with. It's fantastic. I literally prevent you from buying any more Apple stuff just because then I'm successful at the end of the year and I can mock you. It's brilliant. I should have thought this years ago.
I don't like this. So we're now, ladies and gentlemen, going to spin to our friend and colleague, Jeremy Garcia, who is the only person who knows what the word statistics means, where he actually researches his predictions.
Oh, while I think about it, I'm assuming both of you two are not literally making these up off the top of your head.
Define what you mean by
that. You have them written down in some way. I would like you to make sure that I get the written down version so I don't have to transcribe them all.
Jono quickly writes predictions down.
Write them down and send them to you.
Jeremy has obviously done the research. Jono, I can imagine coming into this show having made no predictions and literally just making something up. Don't do that.
It's not an unfair accusation again. All right, what's first on your list, Mr. Garcia?
So after the last show, I half wanted to start with Amazon will release a Kindle that is USB-C, but I decided against it. But I will include one kind of Amazon-related one. Jeff Bezos will become the richest American ever. So that means he's currently valued at about $186 billion. He would need to, depending on how you do the math, he would need to get past about somewhere between $310 and $350 billion. To pass Rockefeller and Carnegie.
So
legitimately inflation adjusted, the richest American that has ever existed.
Right. Okay. I was trying to work out who the hell beats him, but we're talking about inflation adjusted.
So
stuff.
Rockefeller was somewhere between 320 and 340. Again, it's difficult to measure exactly. And Carnegie was in that range.
So your pitch is he's essentially going to double his fortune by the end of the year.
Yeah. It would have to be basically a full doubling, yes.
Yeah, that's... Rodders, we could double our money on this. okay, that's ambitious. I'll say that.
It is. I like ambitious.
So,
also easily measurable. Either he's worth 340 plus or he's not.
Yeah.
So this is in history, right? This is not current, because he's currently the richest person in the US, right?
No, in the history. The richest American ever.
Ever. Okay, got it. Right. Prediction. Yep,
and it leaves the door open to us, Jono, if he makes it, to start arguing about how much Monticello was worth if you adjust it all the way to the modern day and what have you.
Trying to revalue U.S. steel.
We'll
cross that bridge when we get there. So the next one, Google related. Google will make its largest acquisition in the history of the company.
Ooh,
you're all about size, aren't you? There's a theme forming here.
Which is new for me, yeah. So I don't know who
it
could
be. Yes, it is.
Maybe Snowflake, Stripe. I don't know, maybe Box, Cloudflare. I don't think it will be Zoom. But it'll be the largest one.
Do you know what their current largest acquisition
Motorola.
Is?
How much was that?
$12.5 billion.
Oh, yeah. That seems doable.
They just don't typically make big acquisitions.
Yeah.
And Motorola was the largest by a lot. There's no close. I think Nest is two or three at 3 billion. So they don't make large acquisitions.
This is why I was trying to think of because them, it's not like they can't afford it or anything, but they just don't do it.
No, they have loads of cash. They just don't do it. I think this year is going to be the year they realize that the advertising will not last forever in the online form, and that they'll fundamentally shift what they do as an organization.
I almost had a prediction about this, but I couldn't think of any way of phrasing it anything like rationally. Which is, you've seen that. essentially Gmail are going to start charging, right? Your combined Gmail plus Google Photos or whatever is capped up to a limit of 17 gigs. And if you go over it now, you have to start paying. Yeah, I think they've, you know, they've done, you know, the whole point of freemium is you get people on board and then get them to pay. Google has spent 15 years getting people on board. Now they're going to get people to pay. And this is sort of tied in with that, I think. Yeah, that they're looking to get out. The backlash against advertising is kind of coming a bit, and they're not stupid enough to miss it. So
it's so interesting, because I think your prediction is probably going to come true, but I actually think the opposite. I think they're going to double down on advertising, because Facebook, through regulators, are able to track less and less. And their Facebook platform, their advertising platforms have become less valuable. And a lot of people in the internet marketing world are concerned about that. And I actually think what's going to happen is Google are going to see this as an opportunity, especially through YouTube, to double down on advertising. And then they'll probably try to roll that out elsewhere. So I think your prediction is going to come true, but I think they'll double down on advertising.
So unrelated to this, I think the advertising industry has this wrong, and the highly trackable, highly personalized ads are not nearly as effective as people think they are, and generalized advertising actually works better.
Yeah,
well, so I think the industry is being helped by privacy concerns.
But you can't track the generalized advertising. You can track conversion on direct response advertising.
For something. So app installs is the one where you can really track exact ROI and how many clicks you got to how many people installed the app. So that's like the one people always use for personalized advertising. I think that very specific model aside, for app installs, personalized advertising absolutely does not work the way people think it works in the advertising industry.
It totally does.
They're selling you a dream that does not exist, so they can charge you for that dream.
You can track cost per lead, and then you can track cost per sales conversion when people are retargeting traffic.
That's nothing to do with personalized, and retargeting is terrible.
What are you talking about when you say personalized?
The showing you a personalized ad, not tracking what happened afterwards.
So you're not talking about targeted ads. You're talking about something different.
I'm talking about targeted ads. You're talking about tracking the ad afterwards. I'm talking about the targeting of the actual ad.
Right. So, for example, if we were going to have an ad for ACK, it will be for web engineers based in Birmingham, blah, 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 blah. You're saying that those ads aren't as effective as people think it is, because those targeted ads.
So the way the current legislature is working, that ad would still be allowed. I'm talking about the hyper-targeted. They're tracking massive amounts of data ads.
So what they're doing is they're not showing me ads for web engineers in Birmingham. They're showing me ads for red-headed web engineers in Birmingham who are in between 40 and 50 and like pizza.
Right.
Yes. So I agree with you that they're becoming less targeted. But targeted advertising has been very, very effective for many years. Anyway, this is beside the point.
sounds like a show topic, because we've pretty vehemently...
That does actually, that'd be an interesting show topic.
It would.
I think it'd be interesting.
So anyway, that is pretty measurable.
Good prediction.
Got it.
Excellent prediction.
Yep.
Next, Bitcoin is at about $32,000 as we record. It went up a little bit today, but...
Can you believe
it? At some point in 2021, it will be either below $5,000 or above $55,000.
So
I don't know directionally which way it's going to go, but it's going to go multiple orders of magnitude.
It's either going to eat it or meet it. Yeah.
So it's either going to over double or 10%.
Just made that up. I'm very proud of that. Go fuck yourself.
Okay. that seems. It feels,
it's a very bad voltage prediction. It's either going to be really good or really, really bad.
What's weird is it feels to me like, and my immediate thought was, it's a bit of a softball, but it totally isn't. That's roughly doubling in value from where it is. It's a huge jump. Yeah, don't get me wrong. That's why I'm not at all complaining. My thought was just, yeah, I'm sure it's going to do that, but that doesn't make it softball. It's just, it's mad. Bitcoin is mad.
Yeah. It's the insanity of the world that we live in. Right.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll do four.
Yep.
I'll do some bonuses then. I wanted to do something around esports being bigger than either the NFL or something around that, because I thought it would be interesting. Mm. I could not, and I researched that one more than any of my actual predictions, because I started getting annoyed that I couldn't find the data. So if any of our Bad Voltage listeners have a good source of like esports versus sports revenue and viewership, would be fascinated. Now I'm just genuinely curious, but I wanted to say something like the biggest esports event will be bigger than the Super Bowl or something.
Because I honestly feel like if someone were to come in and say, here are some stats, we show that it is bigger, and it has been bigger for years.
For a
and
while.
It's loads bigger. I'd go, yeah, I believe it's like how the gaming industry is bigger than films, right? And everyone goes, really? And yeah, it totally is. It has been for ages.
So onto the ones we could research. Facebook has never lost number of users in a year. Like, users have never gone down. I think they'll lose somewhere in between 50%, 15 and 20% of their users, active Ooh. Users, 2021.
Are we going to be able to get the data on that?
The year of the decline starts.
How do we know
they release monthly active users, yeah.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Question. Do you think if they took a 20% haircut, they would continue to release those numbers?
Good point.
I guess if they start to dip aggressively and then in Q3 and 4, when it would hit this stop reporting, I will be quibbling for a half point.
This is run on the bank stuff, right? Where there's not a run on the bank, but everyone thinks there is. So then there is a run on the bank. It creates itself. If Facebook goes, our figures are dropping, everyone goes, wow, Facebook is dying. I should get around to deleting my account like I meant to anyway. And then it makes the run happen.
So I think people have been saying they'll delete Facebook for a long time. So to be clear, I don't think Article 230 is going to get overturned, but I do think people will reach a point where they just...
We need to have a whole show on that topic.
Sure. We got two topics out of this show.
We should write this down. And when I say we, I mean language. Write it down. You are the nominated scribe. We voted before either of us got on the call.
No, we didn't vote. I was there. That's it, Stuart. Your scribe. There was a vote.
That's an interesting one, because I feel like Facebook have been through the worst of their reputation getting hammered for privacy and lots of other reasons.
Yep.
I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. So it's a good prediction. We'll see what happens.
All right. Another one that I wanted to do was OpenStreetMaps gaining ground seriously on Google Maps. Also couldn't find the data there, but that was on. I was curious about that.
I don't see how you quantify that.
No. So the two ones I have left are Amazon gets into general purpose search. It's the first.
Oh, well, I know. Like Google style search.
So they had A9. They have not had A9 in forever.
This is A9. You're talking about bringing it back.
So A9 lives. I don't know if it's A10 or what, but
if they call it A10, you get a bonus extra.
Maybe they turn it to A11. I don't know.
A-Oogle.
It should be Alta Vista. Publicly available general purpose search.
They probably own Alta Vista. I don't know who does own the name these days.
Probably Sousa.
I don't think he's digital anymore. How do we determine this? You think it's just going to be obvious because there'll be a big rollout and look, we're doing a rival to Google kind of thing?
Maybe it could be they've launched a general public search engine.
Yeah.
So do you believe...
Publicly announced, no. It could...
Can you use it, or is it announced? Because this is an area of contention every year.
No, I think you can use it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So what you mean...
And given I've heard no rumors of them redoing A9, I will admit this is a bit of a hanger, but I think it's going to happen.
Lowballing last time, it's
if
great.
If you're talking about us being able to use it by the end of the year, what you mean is it exists and it works right now, and we just don't know about it. Because it's not like they're going to build it in the next year.
No,
it would have to die.
Yeah. But I think they're good at ML and they do a lot of this stuff already. They actually have a bunch of search expertise, obviously, because of Amazon searching its own site. So they have the people and the
teams. There hasn't been word one about it.
No. I'll genuinely be impressed. Don't get me wrong.
But this is a proper Yorkshire prediction. This is. Okay.
Wow.
This is throaty.
If only there was somewhere I could go to type in, will Amazon do a search engine and see what the answers are?
What happens if they announce a search engine in the next month, it doesn't perform predictably, and they shut it down in the same year?
He still gets the point.
I think he'd still get the point. But we'd have great levels of news.
Secondly, we'd mock him. And thirdly, they could call it the Kindle Fire search engine.
Yeah, there you go. And the last one ahead was a security breach larger than SolarWinds will be discovered and will materially impact the position of a major cloud provider or public tech company.
Oh, I like this one. I think you're right about this.
How you define? I think you're right. I had a prediction. This, which is Russia continues to hack everyone and no one does anything about it, but it's completely unquantifiable. So I took it out. How are we quantifying?
I think it will be obvious that it's like, while we thought SolarWinds was bad, this is woof. I don't know if that means they got into infrastructure or actually use what they did.
Right.
This one is.
You're not talking about monetary value. You're talking about severity.
Severity, yes.
My problem with the severity one is that imagine that the DNC hack hadn't happened and then it happened this year. We'd have an enormous bun fight about what severity means.
So all the other ones I made were very much like, this is an exact thing that can or can't happen. So I needed one that we could quibble on.
This is all part of my fun, isn't it?
Okay, so we're deliberately setting ourselves up for a gargantuan fight about which one was more serious.
It's weird because it was going to be so peaceful before that one.
Wow.
Yeah, and that wraps my 2021 predictions.
Okay, right. No, they're good.
Not bad.
We like them.
I'm very impressed.
Shall we hear what Jono thinks he's going to do with Apple stuff this year?
Yeah, prediction one, I will buy lots of Apple shit.
I'm looking forward to the Facebook Spaces prediction.
Oh yeah,
you can just give me the point for that one now, if you like, and then you can feel secure to buy it all year. That's absolutely fine.
I just like that you're looking out for Apple. It's good. Note that down, open source fans.
They need my they need my help, definitely.
All right, prediction number one is that PlayStation or Sony are going to release the second version of the PSVR headset this year. There's been some rumors about this. There's been nothing concrete. Nothing has been announced. But they will release they won't repackage the existing version. It'll be a completely new version of their VR headset.
Okay. I don't have it.
And it will be released. It will be playable this year. It won't be announced. It will come out.
So you'll be able to buy it for Christmas. I think
it'll come out in November.
I don't have enough of a handle on whether that's unlikely or not. Jeremy, I don't know whether you do.
I don't. I mean, I don't follow the old one super closely, but it's been a while, correct? Maybe 5 years, something?
Yeah, 2014 or something?
I think it was 2015 when it came out.
So, I mean, it seems
something like that.
Like, it's probably due after the PlayStation 5 would make sense timing-wise. This seems like it could reasonably happen, I think.
And
the big thing that goes in the flies in the face of this not happening, I think, is going to be all supply chain.
Do we do announce or you can buy?
You can buy it.
You can buy.
Okay. I don't think it's going to happen then.
Okay.
Okay. But, I mean, I think it's easy to determine if it has or hasn't, so...
VR is sticking around?
I'm going to go 2022.
I think first of all, I think VR in gaming is going to continue to grow more generally. And the first PlayStation VR headset did really well. Lots of sales, consumers loved it, blah, 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 blah. I think that what's going to happen is, this is not part of the prediction, this is just my hypothesis, is that what will happen is...
Chicken!
I think they'll announce it around March, April, and then it will come out for sale holiday 2021. And there'll be the bun fight over, not being able to pre-order. Like, a small number of people will be able to pre-order it and get it. Right. But you will be able to go and buy it, and you will receive your PlayStation VR headset before Christmas.
Okay. So it's not like this year with the PS5, where if you'd have predicted you can get a PS5 by Christmas...
Yep.
It would have been seriously in doubt whether you'd actually qualify for that prediction.
No, you're going to get one. You might not be able to get one, Stuart Langridge, but in the abstract.
3 million people got one.
Right. That's what I'm trying to qualify. So if it comes out...
It's just acquirable. Jono, not that you have acquired one.
You've created a bunch of... we're apparently not allowed to call them bots, so you've created a bunch of autonomous search agents.
It's a shopping optimization experience.
Because I've got a low-budget version of RoboCop out there scouring the stores for your PSVR 2. That counts even if you haven't actually got one, because there's only 9 on sale.
I think what's going to happen is that they hardcore PS fans will get one, and then it'll be difficult to buy one from Walmart. still, okay. But it will be available.
So I think this will happen. I'm sticking with 2022.
I think that's fair.
Right.
And as and as the prophecy predicts, we have one Jono VR prediction, so that's okay. Now move on to Facebook Spaces.
Hold your horses there.
Really? Again?
All right. So prediction number two. Wrong with you. And this is, I think, ambitious. So I believe that in 2021, a COVID vaccine ID will be required in two areas, at least three major airlines. So you won't be able to board a flight on an airline like United, JetBlue, Delta, like a big airline. I'm not talking about like a little regional puddle jumper. Three major airlines will require you to have a vaccination pass of some sort to get on it. Now, there's already been some discussion around a possible electronic version of a vaccine passport. I'm talking about COVID specifically. I'm not talking about other vaccinations. And I also think that at least five major countries will require a vaccine ID to enter their countries.
You already have to demonstrate that you've had a COVID test to enter a bunch of countries. And I don't know how you demonstrate that. If you just have a post-it note with, yeah, I did it, signed Dr. Watson, I'm assuming they don't let you on the plane. But I don't know how you do prove it.
So I think there'll be an industry ID. It'll probably be
that I think is
baked
thing.
Into their mobile apps that when you get vaccinated, you then get added. It gets added to your ID.
That's a big thing to ask for, not because I don't think it will happen, but because the idea of everyone getting together and agreeing on something. I mean, I could absolutely see United requiring a United COVID vaccine ID.
They're already working on it.
Yeah, but the so
they're working on a unified system for vaccine notification.
If everyone has their own one, if every airline has their own one, does it qualify?
Yes. I'm not saying, to be very clear, I'm not saying that there's one system. I'm saying that three major airlines and five countries will require vaccine ID.
Will require you to demonstrate that you've been vaccinated somehow.
But as a bonus to this one, I do think that for the airlines, it will be a consistent, a standard, something that the FAA has coordinated.
They'll be creating a gargantuan bureaucracy.
They've already started working on a collaborative platform for this.
So you think just like TSA pre-check, you'll be able to get COVID-19 check.
TSA COVID check.
Yeah, wow. And you will have to show it when going through security. And if you're not vaccinated, they won't let you in. And so it's not just the three airlines. It's also the five major countries.
Okay.
So the countries seem like a no-brainer, especially given what some – like New Zealand and Taiwan and the countries that are being successful, I could see them absolutely doing
it. Yeah.
Right. So the bureaucracy is going
to
get in the way.
I'm trying to decide if airlines will spend enough money – to do something that will only live for a year.
And almost by definition will reduce the number of people taking flights on their airline.
I actually think they're going to do this to protect their businesses because I think people are going to be nervous about flying. And if you know...
People flying on December 25th seem to fly in the face of people being nervous about flying.
And I've seen a number of people who have been skeptical. I'm not talking about anti-vax weirdos. I'm talking about people who are worried about long-term health effects of these vaccines because they were made so quickly. I've seen a lot of people online saying, if I can't fly, I'm getting the fucking vaccination and throw caution to the wind. So I think that the ability to travel is going to be a major reason why people will get vaccinated. And that's why they'll require this.
I don't know what I think of it, but once again, clearly measurable.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll go for that. To be honest with you, I think the thing which will get in the way of that is not willingness and is not the fact whether it should or shouldn't happen. It's creating that gargantuan bureaucracy.
Oh, it's outright bureaucracy.
I think it's going to be, and because there's going to be a shed load of people who should be able to get it and can't because computer says no or because their surname's too short or something. And if the airlines are out front in requiring this, they'll be out front in criticism of how badly it's been handled. And they're not great bureaucracy when they have time to think about it, let alone when they put together in a weekend.
I agree, but their whole business is on the line here, and I think they will make shit happen. Well, that's the reason why I think it's going to happen.
I would feel more sympathetic if it wasn't for the fact that every time I take a bag, which is 1 gram over the limit, they charge me $70.
Yeah, but the problem, I keep saying this to you, is that it's full of cocaine.
They don't mind that. I just want to take less than the weight limit, less than 23 kilos of cocaine. They could give a damn what's in the bag.
Yeah, like you're at the airport, taking bags of cocaine out so you can meet the weight limit.
And I'm like, what do? Do I just put this in my inside jacket pocket? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about
that's
it.
That's totally fine. Put it up your ass like a civil human being. All right.
Wow.
Please don't cut that bit out, Marius, as the bit before the music.
No, he's totally doing that. Also, this explains why you fly Southwest a lot.
And to be very clear, I would like this policy with a vaccine ID to be in place. Prediction number three. I think that this year, Donald Trump's Twitter account will be disabled temporarily for at least twice, but I don't think he's going to get banned.
Oh man, I predicted this and I was mocked. I'm assuming you now think it's okay because he's no longer going to be the president.
I think because he's not the president, he's not going to come under the protections that he's been under. I think there's a lot of people who are like, he's going to get banned immediately. I don't think he's going to get banned, but I think that his account will be invisible at least twice this year, probably for a couple of days or whatever. And then he will be back to his normal bullshit.
I could hardly disagree because I predicted it would happen when he was president.
If he is actually banned, that means you lose this, correct? You get 0 points.
That's a good point.
You qualified it explicitly as
I qualified it as not banned. Yes, I don't. Yeah, I don't believe his account will be banned. So if he is banned, then I don't get the point. I'll get probably a third of a point. Because
we will enter the quibble zone, is what you're saying.
What if he's got a what's this week's racist Twitter? What's it called? Not vote. Gab, the new one.
Parler.
Parler, right. If he's got a Parler account.
This week's racist Twitter.
They never seem to last very long because everyone goes, yeah, we can now go and be racist on this thing like Twitter. And they realize that they're just surrounded by racists. And it's not fun for them anymore. So they get shut down.
So I think that's going to happen. My final main prediction.
Ooh.
Is that Zoom will start building a complete remote working offering. So I don't think Zoom are going to get acquired by a business. I think what they're going to do is, you know, you've got Zoom, which is the video thing. I think they're going to want to get into the full remote working, you know, project management and communication, all those different things. And I think what they'll do is that they will acquire at least one major remote working company.
So you think they'll be the SharePointization of Zoom?
Right. I think that they will acquire...
Obvious how Jeremy feels about this policy.
I think they will acquire a company like a Slack.
Who's a major remote worker? Do they have the money to do this? They're a player on the same sort of level as all the people they might be acquiring, right?
Well, I mean, there's $100 billion valuation stock-wise. Stock.
Well, yeah, but if you're talking about
a company that can't get chat correct now... is going to go from that to full-blown suite of products in a year?
I think Zoom.
But they'll do it by acquisition,
year,
right?
Not. I think they internally they're probably saying, you know what, this is an opportunity to strike while the iron's hot. The brand is doing really well. Let's build a complete remote.
We've got to do something because otherwise, as soon as COVID goes away, Zoom calls go away.
Right, and I think they will be building this not just for a. They will be building this in the same way that Google are, which is, you know, you can use it in office as well as remotely. But they will all be about building this productivity environment. I think they'll end up actually competing with Google, with G Suite.
You're then going to compete with G Suite and Salesforce now and Microsoft. It seems like if you are Zoom and you have an opportunity to move that amount of capital that you just acquired in a way that is efficient and accretive, It seems like that's a poor space to get in.
So I think they'll pick an area in that space that's not very effective, and they'll start there.
That's not a reason to not predict it. That's a reason to disagree with the prediction.
My
problem with this is it's not.
So I if think, they do just file collaborate, if they have the equivalent of Box and nothing else, Is that
right?
A suite?
This is my question. If they do a bunch of sort of, you know, halfway, not very successful, everyone thinks they're rubbish stuff, and go, look, it's our productivity suite, and it doesn't really pass the laugh test, does that qualify? Because I think it's quite likely they'll try to do this. The question
is, there a minimum amount of things they have to offer to be a suite for this prediction?
Do they have to succeed at it, or if they try it and it's completely half-assed? Like, I'm sure SharePoint, for example, I don't know this, but I'm sure it's got a full point-to-point video chat thing built into it somewhere, because they'll have done a crappy half-assed job that no one cares about in there, but then go, no, it's in there. And I feel like Zoom might do that, but I don't think that should count. But I don't want to say they have to be successful, because loads of people launch stuff and aren't successful. So how do we quantify it as it is a real good attempt? Not they ship it with Notepad++ and then you claim it's productivity suite.
Right. So right now, Zoom are primarily known as the video thing. Yep. And they've got the chat thing. And then they've got the phone thing, right? And they do have the webinars thing.
Wow.
But everything is basically anchored.
I don't think they're even known for three of those at all. I think they're the video thing.
No, they're not. They're known for video everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to happen is, so it's the center point is the video thing, right? And they extended the video thing to do webinars. That's the webinar thing. Yeah. And the chat thing wraps around it a little bit. But I think they're gonna broaden further out. So,
the eye roll in that was
their
eloquent.
It's terrible.
It is the worst. It is pure dead terrible.
So yeah, so I think that they're going to broaden out. It could go into calendaring, it could go into email, it could go into productivity or like project management. It could go into a new video. It could acquire someone like Slack. Mattermost. Although I wouldn't consider Mattermost a major acquisition. I put that in a smaller scale acquisition. But I think they're going to acquire a big company that's going to come in and they're going to start building out this broader.
Such a stupid idea.
I think they're more
idea.
Likely to pivot to being a virtual event platform or something along those lines than they are to do that.
I think if they try to get into this, they'll die on their asses. And hopefully they're smart enough to recognize that.
Being the next Intrado makes more sense. Or trying to acquire Hopin or compete with Hopin makes more sense to me than
that. And to be very clear, I think they won't succeed at this. I think they'll try, but they won't succeed. And then I got two quick bonus ones.
Okay, yep.
We may have heard these previously.
Oh, for God's sake, really?
Can I predict one of them? It's going to be Canonical gets acquired while you're buying an Apple product in Facebook Spaces.
So the first one is that Facebook Spaces will still be shit. Yes.
Honestly, we've been talking about this. I don't even know if it's still actually a thing. Is it a thing still?
No idea. Honestly,
I honestly don't know whether they've killed it or not. We've argued about it that much that I don't know what the truth is anymore, which explains a lot.
Let's have a look. It's still a thing. Oh, hang on. This content isn't available right now. Maybe it isn't a thing. Oh, no, it is. It's a thing. You can use Facebook Spaces today, and it's probably bollocks.
So the app is no longer available. On October 25th, 2019, Facebook Spaces was shut down to make way for Facebook Horizon.
Okay. So for Facebook Horizon will still be shit.
You don't even know what it is.
I have no idea.
I don't need to know what it is.
that is a fair comment. I'll give you that.
Final one. Canonical will not be acquired this year.
Oh,
that's such a cowardly prediction.
No, why?
Because every time we predict it, no one thinks it's going to happen.
Exactly.
I think it's going to happen this year now just because you predicted it's not going to happen.
Well, I think the fact that I'm predicting it's not going to happen, I'm actually doing them a favor. The reason why I'm saying this is because I want them to get acquired and move on. And by me saying it's not going to happen, it's the law of the universe that it will happen. They're not going to get acquired this year. It's going to be another year of doing what they're doing right now, and then they may get acquired in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, perfectly happy with my brand. Just okay. No, that's in there. Cool. So we shall see.
So there we go.
How these things work out.
I think we have a good collection of predictions. Good in the sense of they're ones that we can't bicker too much about. They're almost certainly going to be wrong.
They're testable. At least one of them's right, because we have predicted both P and not P. So that's okay.
That is an immediate one person gets a point.
Yeah. We're guaranteed a point, which is better than most years. That's a whole entire point. Oh, no, half a point, because they were bonus predictions.
Yes. Alrighty. Well, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you may be. I hope you've enjoyed this. As usual, let us know on the Slack channel what you think of our predictions, whether you agree with them, whether you disagree with them. You probably mainly disagree with them. Thank you again to Marius from nerdzoom.media for his excellent work in mixing the show.
And once again, when we post this to the forum or jump into Slack, we'd like to hear your predictions. See if the Bed Voltage community is any better at predictions than we are. I almost has to be the case.
Almost certainly.
Low bar there, man. Low bar.
It's like someone wandering into a pub and just randomly yelling something about tech and like, yeah, that's probably going to work more than those idiots. Nice. All right.
Okay. That was the
Happy
show.
Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks for listening.
That's it.
Thank you for listening.
Talk to you soon.